Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Welcome. My name is Anne Wilson, and I'm delighted to welcome you to Emerge Australia's 2025 podcast series, in which I speak to a range of individuals, patients, clinicians, and researchers impacted by and associated with ME/CFS and long COVID. I acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we meet and pay my respects to elders past, present, those emerging, and listening to this podcast. We're once again using the magnificent lyrics of John Lennon's Imagine, timeless lyrics and music in which we are transformed to a place where we dare to imagine a world where there is no greed or hunger, no war, where we have a brotherhood of man. Maybe a world without discrimination or stigma, a world where there is a cure for ME/CFS, where the voices of those suffering invisibly are listened to, seen and heard, where we imagine all the people. So today I'm delighted to introduce to you Shiloh Moore. Shiloh describes herself as a tireless advocate, master meditator, proud auntie to her many nibblings, which is the gender-neutral term for nieces and nephews, mentor, friend, family member, creative artist, writer, author of two self-published autobiographical books, musician and songwriter, especially of chants, profound thinker, philosopher, spiritual explorer and lover of life, who has had ME/CFS and fibromyalgia for some 35 years since the age of 10. And that is a very long time. So I'm delighted to welcome you to the program, Shiloh, and to kick things off, I'm wondering if you could tell our listeners about your ME/CFS journey and how you've been impacted. Also mention how long you have been impacted by ME/CFS.
Thanks so much, Anne. I'd love to share. I grew up in an unconditionally loving environment and had a blissful childhood until I became sick with severe fibromyalgia and ME/CFS when I was 10 years old in 1990. I was not diagnosed for 4 years. Doctors said I had growing pains, and nobody else complained about their growing pains, so I thought it was naughty to complain, and I tried hard not to. I was a high achiever, and throughout my childhood and tweens, I loved school, flute, piano, hockey, dancing, choir, debating, and youth group, but was forced to give them all up aged 14. I also had to cut off my beautiful long hair due to pain. I spent age 16 completely bedridden, unable to bathe or feed myself. I remember having profound thoughts that I desperately wanted to express, but I couldn't even write or speak into a tape recorder to record them. I longed for a machine to record and express my thoughts. I needed to be pushed in a wheelchair to leave the house, usually just for doctor's appointments, for 3 years. Then I improved enough to finish high school one subject at a time as a mature age student and do a subject at uni throughout 2001 and 2002. But then my pain, exertion intolerance, post-exertional malaise, orthostatic intolerance, cognitive impairments, anxiety, and thousands of symptoms all flared, and I've been mostly housebound, often bedbound ever since. My pain is constantly severe, and I have not experienced less than 7 out of 10 pain since I was 13. I have had periods of unbelievable pain off the charts, but I know it can always get worse, as it does. Now I need to lie down 20 to 22 hours a day and do everything I can while lying down. And I need to wholeheartedly rest, which is what I call rest with no stimulus, no devices, light or sound. And I rest in silence about 3 to 6 hours every day. There are countless challenges, losses, and grief that I continue to experience every day with severe ME/CFS. One of the first major challenges in the beginning was a loss of my identity. Who am I if I can no longer do all the things I love to do and be who I thought I was? I've spent 3 decades rebuilding a sense of self, learning to love life even within the confines of disability that come with severe fibromyalgia and ME/CFS, to find purpose and meaning in my life and develop a sense of value of being worthwhile, even exactly as I am.
So, you've told us that you were a high achiever, but you've clearly faced many challenges. And I'm wondering if you could expand on what your major challenges have been.
There are countless challenges, losses, and grief that I continue to experience every day with severe ME/CFS. One of the first major challenges in the beginning was a loss of my identity. Who am I if I can no longer do all the things I love to do and be who I thought I was? I've spent 3 decades rebuilding a sense of self, learning to love life even within the confines of disability that come with severe fibromyalgia and ME/CFS, to find purpose and meaning in my life and develop a sense of value and of being worthwhile, even exactly as I am. Another major challenge is when applying for disability support pension and NDIS, you have to prove what you can't do. Your needs that are not being met. Millions Missing campaigns focus on the life you used to love, that you can no longer live. I find this headspace incredibly depressing, toxic, and dangerous. Now that I have gained access to NDIS and have the care I need, instead of focusing on what I can't do, I am free to focus on what I can do and focus on what I have. I put what I can do under a microscope and magnify it until it's beautiful. Even when bedridden, in wholehearted rest, simply being can bring me a sense of peace and purpose, knowing my life has value even just in existing. My ambition as a teenager was to become a flautist and bring flute into popular music like Tori Amos and the piano. My parents gave me a professional flute, my dream flute with holes in it, and 6 months later, I could not hold it or even make the mouth shape, the embouchure, to blow. 31 years later, I still can't. For decades, I cut out music from my life, as when I listen to music, I imagine dancing or playing along with my piano fingering. And even imagining this movement brings pain, as if I'm actually doing it. It is so cruel. But in 2020, my friends Alexandra Westaway and Reverend Simon Ruth DeVoyle introduced me to chanting, and it changed my life. A favorite chant of mine is, "Oh, but my darling, what if all goes well? Oh, but my darling, what if all goes well?" Often, my mind hurts to think at a normal, fast pace. But I discovered no matter how sick I am, I can always slow down the voice in my head with a mantra or chant, a simple positive phrase, and add a melody, and I can always have music. I also focus on what I can do with my art. I can't paint large canvases, I can't sit up for long, but I used to draw lying down, then sit up for 5 minutes at a time throughout the day and slowly work on watercolors. Since 2018, I have worked mainly while reclining on the lounge using an iPad Pro with Apple Pencil with the app Procreate. I can only create for half an hour every 4 days, and I need physio and rest to recover. But now I can do in half an hour what used to take me weeks. Over the years, creating every few days, it builds, and I've been absolutely prolific. When you focus on what you can do, it all adds up. Let it be enough.
So I love the fact that you're now focusing on what you can do for yourself rather than what you can't do, and that you've also been able to access the NDIS. And so the burden of not having to do everything for yourself has freed you up to focus on those things that you are able to do and can do. So can you tell us about your fabulous artwork and how art helps you?
Thanks, Anne. I'd love to. At school, art and English were the only subjects I ever got B's rather than straight A's for. But art and words have been my ultimate passion since I have been sick. I have created art prolifically since I first improved from being bedridden as a 16-year-old. As soon as I could hold a pencil, I would draw and paint in stages as much as I possibly could. To write, I text using my phone on an iPhone stand, or I use a laptop and lie down and touch type. I can even do this with my eyes closed. Art on the iPad and typing on the computer are now relaxing when I'm in a flow zone. Sometimes it takes less energy to get up and create than it takes to lie in bed and think about it. I create to express and escape. I drew my pain to express what I was going through, and I drew beautiful images that came to me to escape and explore the world from my bed. I have ideas, then work on them bit by bit, and it brings me so much joy to complete them. In 2004, I published an autobiographical book of poetry and line drawings, Stranger in the Moving Chair. And in 2021, Amanda Francy published an art exhibition of my artworks and words over the years in the website CME Expo, featured artist exhibition Shiloh Moore Art and Words. For decades, I have shared my art in support groups and online via my By Shy Art by Shiloh Moore blog and website and my Facebook and Instagram page. Emerge will print the links in my About Me section on this podcast. I have had art displays and I have sent art and letters to friends all over the world. In recent years, I have been drawing portraits and sending letters with packages of my art. I have sent 15 portraits of politicians and sent them my art on ME/CFS as advocacy. And amazingly, I have received personal replies from most. I realize my story is filled with what is known as moral beauty, and this inspires people. Over the years, I have struggled with this due to fears of not living up to expectations. But now I know people don't expect me to be perfect. I love that I can inspire and bring hope. I first realized the power in my voice when I was 15, and a doctor commented in the Courier Mail that people with CFS fake illness to get sickness benefits. I wrote a letter to the editor that was published, "We're ill, not faking it." And I shared that I was not even old enough to get the pension. And I had just spent a week totally bedridden during my school holidays. Why would I fake it? That letter was so well received, and it started decades of sharing my story to educate and invoke change. Drawing expresses the pain and gets it on paper in a way that separates you from the pain. It's cathartic. Then, to share it, it expresses the pain to others in a way that's hard to describe. It connects you with others with ME/CFS around the world, and it helps share our insights with healthy people and those who do not understand. Art helps me be able to feel seen, heard, respected, and appreciated, which heals childhood wounds of not being believed. It is nourishing of my soul and is priceless.
I love the fact that you've talked about drawing being such a cathartic experience. I think the experience, whether you're an artist or whether you're someone who's able to write, of getting what you're feeling out, whether it's onto canvas, in a book, on paper, but getting those feelings out, documenting them in art or in writing, is such a healing process. And so it's wonderful to hear how you've developed in that way. What strategies have you identified that enable you to live your best life while battling this invisible disease?
The main pacing strategy I have developed is wholehearted rest, resting with no sensory stimulus. At first, when I was 15 and started needing wholehearted rest, it was challenging. You're isolated, missing out on all the things you used to be involved with, missing out on activities with friends. Being in the moment when you're in pain and missing out can be confronting, as the pain and grief is present, past and future. But over the years, I discovered resting can be fun. You can imagine anything and escape in your mind. I go to a world quite similar to that of the theme song to this podcast, Bloom's beautiful rendition of John Lennon's song, Imagine. I imagine in my mind and I go to a place where I am safe, I'm loved, and the pain is distanced from me. When I was bedridden, age 16, I was anxious most of the day, but I meditated on a mantra, I am okay. And somehow I felt held. Even before this, I've been going to this place of imagine since I was 10 years old. For decades, I lived disassociating from my body, blocking out the pain and lived out of body in this safe, special world. Nobody can see the pain I'm in or see how I live blocking it out and don't show it. I don't know how to show it. Since 2019, I have been studying traditional meditation, and now I can live in my body, safe in the moment, even in pain, in my beautiful surroundings in this world. I can't always do it, and I still get overwhelmed by my pain, but most of the time I can focus on other things and love life even with it. In wholehearted rest, I like to be joyfully mindful, F-U-L-L, and explore the universe in my mind. Can I just repeat that again? In wholehearted rest, I like to be joyfully mindful, capital F-U-L-L, and explore the universe in my mind. If there's anything you can't do, do it in your mind. Travel to beautiful landscapes. Go places safely without feeling pain. I walk along the beach at sunset with my soulmate, and I can smell the salty air, feel the sand in my toes and water gently lapping at my feet. See the colors changing on the horizon, where the sky meets the ocean. Imagine in great detail, and your mind doesn't know the difference between what's imagined and what's real. It's as if you have really been there. I imagine going out with friends and having conversations with them, and with loved ones who have died, with famous people I love, with characters from books and movies, with figures throughout history. I have conversations with myself at significant ages. I imagine myself as a power animal and interact with it, like my wild Arctic moose and bird with a broken wing. I play hockey with my bestie. I think of my friends, the ME community, the wider disability community, other marginalized people, people who discriminate against us, our allies, world leaders, everyone. And I hold vigil and tap into the light within me, and I send it out to them. I feel held by light from them in return. I wrote a chant. Let the light within me carry me. Let the light within you carry you. Let my light carry you. Let your light carry me. Let our light carry us. Let our light carry us. Collective effervescence is a term used to describe the awe you experience in crowds of people. And I feel collective effervescence constantly now as I wholeheartedly rest. I am never alone. I love to philosophize, explore spirituality, and ask existential questions and ponder the meaning of life and analyze and explore different parts to myself. Sometimes pain, fear, extreme anxiety, anticipatory angst, terror, and trauma all overwhelm me. Instead of avoiding it, I gently go into it and analyze it. I describe it, write about it, draw it, brainstorm where it comes from. And Alexandra Westaway taught me to write comforting words that I need to hear and turn it into a chant that I sing to myself on a repeat. She encouraged me to chant often when I'm going well, so that those chants have happy connotations. That way, when I'm struggling and need to hear something comforting, the chants bring an extra positive vibe. Words came to me in meditation that joy always follows. After being mindful, capital F-U-L-L, I am mindful and chant and meditate using many methods I have developed. Now, instead of always spiraling into anxiety, I have learned to often be able to spiral into peace and acceptance of what is. Sometimes the anxiety is too strong and I can't, but often now, I can go to bliss.
Wow, it seems as though you're using all the strategies that help you to be successful despite your illness, mindfulness, you know, chanting, being able to take yourself off into a different space in your mind, all things that are really terrific for taking the focus away from your illness. Just amazing. You're keen to discuss the life-saving difference between empathy and compassion. Can you tell us why that is so?
Yes, Anne. Empathy and compassion has been an area of special interest since it helped me through a period of severe depression and emotional burnout in my late 30s and early 40s. When I was bedridden as a teen in the mid-90s, I didn't have the internet. I knew of quite a few people with chronic fatigue syndrome, but not many were as severe as I was, apart from Alison Hunter, a 19-year-old Australian who died in 1996. Death was a real possibility. The illness was really isolating and scary. Fast forward to ME Awareness Day, May 12, 2018, and I designed the logo and helped organise ME Action Network Australia's Millions Missing campaign. For the campaign, I drew empty thongs, empty shoes representing the 250,000 Australians missing from their livelihoods due to ME/CFS, with millions missing worldwide, with 25% severe, like me. Many people changed their profile photos on Facebook, and we kept a photo album of thousands of Australians posing with my artwork. In the photos, I was the only one smiling. The outpouring of suffering in the community overwhelmed me, and I empathised with and viscerally felt the pain of millions. My insightful counsellor introduced me to the amazing work of the neuroscientist Richie Davidson and the monk Matthew Ricard on empathy and compassion in the stunning book Altered Traits, The Science of Meditation by Daniel Goleman and Richard J. Davidson. When Matthew was in the MRI machine, while he imagined empathy, feeling the pain of someone suffering, real pain lit up in Matthew's body as if he was really feeling the pain. In my empathy, I was feeling real pain, worrying about the millions with ME. insignificant contrast when Matthew felt compassion, love, with the intention to alleviate suffering, no pain lit up, but love hormones like oxytocin and mama bear protective markers lit up instead. The antidote to burnout and overcoming over empathy is compassion. Ever since, I have been studying compassion. I discovered some of my favorite memories, my most sacred experiences, were bonding with people through my adversity. This is my profound personal experience of compassion. Connecting through suffering is powerful. I have been so fortunate to have people hold me in my pain and say they don't understand, but they believe me and they support me. Being held through suffering is the most profound experience. There is nothing more powerful than uplifting one another with love. Instead of feeling the pain of the millions suffering and millions more now with long COVID, I now tap into the love at my core and send that love out into the world and into the lives of all who suffer. It has totally revolutionized the way I approach my own and the world's suffering. I am filled with love, and with compassion, I am protected from over-empathizing and feeling all the suffering.
That's a beautiful statement when you talk about connecting through suffering. That can be just so amazingly helpful to everyone involved. They're really beautiful words, Shiloh. So, switching tack a little bit, what would you do as Prime Minister for a day?
No, thank you. I wouldn't want that pressure, but however, I'd do four things. Firstly, I'd like to start the day with sharing a chant and guided meditation. When I met privately with my federal member, I shared with her an original breath chant meditation, and she asked if she could do it with her team every morning. I'd like to guide you through my breath chant at the end of this podcast. Secondly, I would remove all guidelines advising the NDIA and government bodies of the use of graded exercise, or GET, as a treatment for ME and long COVID. GET has never been safe or effective. Rather, it's absolutely dangerous and ruining livelihoods. I would then put in charge doctors with knowledge of the latest biomedical research and make sure there are fairer pathways for access to NDIS and the disability support pension. Thirdly, I'd create a specialty for ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID, with specialist doctors whose primary area of expertise is ME. I'd set up a chain of bulk build specialist centres all around the country to treat and study ME, where they are scheduled and on time, unlike hospitals. And you can lie down while you are there in dim lighting with no news blaring from the TV. And they always offer telehealth. Finally, I'd get my government to issue an apology to people with ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, Gulf War syndrome, and long COVID for their mistreatment and neglect. I would make sure the government goes on to significantly fund resources to help us all.
I think Emerge Australia and all organisations working in this space of energy-limiting disease would agree with the things that you'd put in place if you were PM for a day. I know you say you wouldn't want it, but these are amazing things that really represent the issues that the ME/CFS and long COVID communities really care about and hold dear. So finally, do you have a message of hope for our listeners?
I absolutely believe there is hope, not just in a far-off day with a cure, but in living today exactly as is, even with severe ME/CFS. I have lived with severe fibromyalgia and ME/CFS for 35 years, and in that time, I've experienced countless indescribably torturous times of trauma. And for two extended periods, I was seriously depressed and not coping. I felt defeated that no amount of love, prayer, wishing, medical care, or support could take any of my pain away. But even through those dark times, I always found light to sustain me. I couldn't always feel it, but at those critical moments, something would pull me through. And I've gone on to experience extended periods of true joy, bliss, and peace beyond understanding that I never thought possible. Even though I still struggle and have my moments, life is incredibly beautiful. Even with chronic illness. In meditation once, when I was in extreme pain, words came to me, I am exactly as I need to be, exactly as I am. Another meditation said to me, something amazing happens absolutely every day. Even through the deepest darkness, there is light in life that makes me want to live. I focus on that light. I hope you too can find it.
Thanks so much, Shiloh. And to finish off this podcast, Shiloh would like to take you through a guided meditation called a breath chant.
Thank you so much for this conversation, Anne. As a bonus to end on, I'd like to share with our listeners an original little chant and guided meditation that I wrote called Breath Chant that I shared with my federal member. You can do it briefly, like we'll do here, or you can slow it down and repeat each area as a fuller meditation. Gently close your eyes. Breathe in and out and notice your breath at your nose and mouth. In and out. Breathe in and out and notice your breath at the chest. Ebb and flow. Breathe in and out and notice your breath at the belly. Slow down. Breathe in and out and let go of all tension. Let go. Breathe in and out and feel into your body. Notice where your body connects with the surface below. Feel the ground below. In and out. Ebb and flow. Slow down. Let go. Feel the ground below. May you live with peace throughout the rest of the day.
Thanks so much, Shiloh. You're an amazing woman. You're achieving wonderful things within great limitations of your disease. And we're really delighted that you were able to come on this podcast and share your life with us. To see Shiloh's work, you can visit her at CME Online Expo Artist Exhibition, Art and Words by Shiloh Moore, www.SEEMEEXPO.com/Shiloh-Moore. And we'll be putting up details of where you can find Shiloh's work on our website under our podcast session. So today's podcast is part of an Emerge Australia series that records interviews with patients and people of influence to ensure that the voices of those with ME/CFS are seen and heard. This is a platform where we can together explore the pressing issues faced by over 250,000 people with ME/CFS and at least 400,000 more with long COVID. Tune in again for our next interview, and don't forget, for more information and to subscribe to the Emerge Australia newsletter, visit our website on www.emerge.org.au. Thank you.
You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. And I hope someday